All right, Revelation 6. Chapter 6, verse, we're going to spend some more time on. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?"
What verse is that?
10. Every time in the scriptures, when a prophet of God speaks, it's always, unless we repent from our own way, there's a visitation from God. All we as sheep have gone astray, everyone seeks his own way. It's the plaintive cry in Isaiah. Now, as we continue in this path of sanctification, or the path of through the valley of the shadow of death, our own way becomes more and more abhorrent, because we've tried our own way, you know. And so you start out thinking, well, Jesus is going to help me with my way. Then you start out, well, I didn't work too well, so I know what I'll do. I'll get the Holy Spirit to help me with my way. And then you go through the period of time when you're really convinced that your way is God's way. And your ideas are God's ideas. What's that? Vanity is so... Not that one. The one that from the Devils of Loudon. Anyway.
It's a great quote.
I know.
Really,
Huxley's Devils of Loudon, right?
Yeah. Put God's name on it.
Every man is an egotist. Anyway. When he becomes a believer, then he's convinced that everything he wants is what God wants, something like that. And this is a this is the essence of the battle. And you know, if you go to a place where they're teaching you how-tos, then you will find out more how-tos of how. And you become more and more convinced that God wants you to have your dreams and your wishes fulfilled. He gave you those dreams. No, he didn't. So again, every time the prophetic word is given in the scriptures, it's unless you repent, turn from your own way, there will be a visitation from God. Now, if you have any integrity within you, you'll have to admit that's what's happened to you your whole life.
You mean God doesn't want me?
God doesn't want what you want.
Healthy, wealthy.
No.
Prosperity.
Well, if he does, you're really in deep doo-doo.
I am, yeah.
So am I. But if you're in a group of people where, or in the name of God, where they're telling you that God wants you to have all this stuff, then what happens? You have to act. You can't be vulnerable, because it would be a denial of your belief system. Do you see the incredible importance of that? There's a whole belief system within Christianity that says God cannot be the author of anything that I don't like. And we've had a few of them here. Shall the evil be done in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? So therefore you have to come up with this duality. God is in this great battle with good and evil. I mean, he's in a great battle with evil. Because obviously God is good, by my definition. No, God is good by his definition. And so again, the cry, Ho despotis, how long until you avenge the blood? And then God tells you what? He said in verse 11, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until his fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So the time spent while you're crying, or you may have cried, ho despotes, is spent in rest, because you know that Jesus is Lord, and so everything is exactly as it should be. Now this will define your life from this point forward, if you have ears to hear.
I think I missed it. What you just said. Not nearly, did you?
Well, since the day I've known you, since you brought you want to bring attention to yourself. I think we met in December of 1973. Huh?
No, we met different. December, whatever.
You were coming to talk to the station manager at KDTX, and he recommended you come and talk to me.
That was his fault.
And we were planning a concert with Pat Boone and Andre Crouch and the Disciples. And you assisted us with that. And we were working then with the House of Faith and with Boys Valley Ranch. It was the beneficiaries of the concert. Since that time, there has been a tendency in you, as in all men, to believe that there was a call of God on your life and that it was towards doing a certain set agenda. You had an idea of what it was that God wanted you to do. And then you met Judy and everything got messed up.
I met you first.
I know, because, and the whole process of it has been, for 32 years, has been watching you slowly turn completely from your own way. And so that's what I said.
Oh, I like that.
So again, the cry of God. The cry of the people who are seated on the mercy seat, hidden under the wings of the cherubim, is how long? How long? All right. And the answer to how long is till the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Well, the axe was laid to the root of the trees at the baptism of Christ. So the how long then is until those people who he has marked will hear that the axe has been laid to the root of the tree. Because if the axe has been laid to the root of the tree as you are the tree, and the axe has been laid to the root of it, that means your death. So the how long is until his people accept their death and stop following their nose. Whether it's Scott, or whether it's Wade, or whether it's any of us, God's mercy, we account the long suffering of our God as salvation, because we can see how his long suffering has happened in us. By rights, we should have been killed the second after we became a believer, and then continue to follow our own way. Now, did that bring you to a point? Now, it doesn't matter whether your own way is your own way, or your own way that you've adopted is somebody else's own way, or your interpretation of what their way was is their own way. i.e. Harry. If anything happens to Trinity, then I'll have to go back to New Jersey and die alone. No, he will never leave us nor forsake us. We must abandon any way that we have, because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, nor can they be shared. We only can see them afterwards. As John said, the people in Matthew 25 were shocked when he said that you had fed Christ and that you would visit him in prison and that you had met his needs. And they said, when did we ever do that? Okay? Now, the goal can't even be doing that. You can't have anything as a goal, because then you'll think you know what's going to happen and what your purpose is. This is really, 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 really at the core of what sanctification is. What?
I was just touched emotionally when you went back 30 years to when we did meet and you became my pastor, essentially, in this doctrine that you preach. And you, with all your foibles and faults or whatever, as a part of the test, have been just, and mine too, have just been superfluous, essentially, because what I hear is what you say. And I'm moved by how from the very first time we started talking, I really couldn't hear anybody else. I mean, I would go and listen to this and that and get excited about certain things that I, you know, little jewels, so to speak. But the essence of the cross that you told me of just lit in my heart. And, you know, emotionally I'm really moved by that whole time that we've had together. And I suspect everyone is about the same. That's what the incredible attraction is to this place, is the beauty of our death to self. Something.
Yeah.
The mountains.
I wouldn't let anybody tape or even record anything for a long time, if you remember. And then somehow Harry talked me into starting to record the Bible studies in 84. And so, that's what I was going
to
say, for all these years now, Harry's been recording the Bible studies so he can catch me.
He thought he'd been mesmerized.
Still in. No, and that's right, that's fine. I don't care. But I think, I mean, I it's the same, it doesn't change, There's nothing new under the sun. That which has been is now, that which is to be has already been, and God requireth that which is past. And it's the same. There's never going to be any change. It was the same with Abel. It's been the same since. There ever and always are only two theologies. There's the theology of glory and the theology of the cross. The theology of glory is how I can get what I want, some way. The theology of the cross is I die. It's not negotiable.
You said something a couple minutes ago that we've said many, many times, but it just sounded really clear about you can't have an idea of what God wants. Because if you do, then you will automatically judge everything against that idea and label it either good or bad. It's the essence of the...
It's the beast.
Of the beast.
Remember, the only... You got to remember this. When Jesus was speaking in Matthew 23, he said, "You shall travel over sea and land to make one convert. And when he is made... and will make him twice the child of hell that you are." It's the least studied scripture in evangelical Christianity. Because The only time a child of hell is ever defined is in Genesis 3. And it's one who judges for himself good and evil. Now, every man does that automatically within his own frame of reference. But then you make him religious. Now he's got a whole other stack of crap to judge good and evil by. And so they, you know, as I've often said, that, you know, people like the promise keepers and all that, that's just like, it's spiritual infancy, but it's like the seven principles. You couldn't keep the first 10, so you invented seven more. Or here's the way you can have a successful life. I mean, every one of them. There's always some other law that they're presenting, some other how-to. That's what a law is. And when you all you delay, you just these poor guys hiding, you know, I mean, that have been slain under the altar are just going crazy. How long are you going to put up with this crap? Go explode somebody. Call down fire. What? Oh, the purpose-driven life. There are no exceptions. He will warn, he will threaten, he will speak of the judgment day of God. That is the role of a prophet. And I think that is our role as a body. No matter what we do, this is what we speak and what we live and what we are. And it just makes people crazy. And we can't let anything... Nobody likes our role, including us. But we can't let anything that we are and do for any reason. We can't violate that. This is why this chapter 6 is so important to me. Anybody have any response?
I have one overall about in ruminating what's being said here. I find the evil of my self is to now take emptying and turn it into a how-to. And there's no end to the wickedness of my mind. Huh? Oh, you said amen there. It's like that where it talks about you cannot serve God. You can't take the cross and use the cross as an instrument of your own salvation.
Amen. All right, the first time Messiah, I mean, in history, the first time a Messiah appeared, Messiah appeared at the blood of Abel. And it was mercy. But he appeared simultaneously to Abel, and it was judgment. And that's always the case.
Cain?
Huh?
The Cain judgment or Abel?
Abel died. His blood was the prophet. So it was...
I didn't understand what you just said.
That's all right. Just for the time being, just think of it in linear time then. The first time Christ appeared, it was mercy. The next time he appears, it's judgment. But the time to appear between mercy and judgment has no time. It's only dependent on your the depth of your repentance. So the second coming of Christ is in you as an earthen vessel is the same as the moment in Abel. It's he appeared in mercy and he appeared in judgment. Well, it's the same. It's always that. And the only time distance, there's no dispensation. There's only the time of his long suffering, which is the time of your rebellion, to come to the end, so that you see mercy and judgment as the same thing. Does that communicate?
Well, what's the example there from Abel? Expand a little bit on that.
No. I don't feel like doing that. I mean, we've done that 100 times in the past. let's go on. I don't want to spend all day. We haven't even gotten to where I wanted to start.
We've gone backwards again.
And white robes, the righteousness of Christ, and the white robes, the white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest. And then in verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Now, I've been waiting to do this for a long time. The first thing that happens when he opens the sixth seal is, again, the seal has been opened. But when he opens the sixth seal, and it's opened in you, i.e. you understand it, the first thing that always happens is it says earthquake, but it's the Greek word seismos. And it means there is a great shaking. Now, the response to the great shaking is, for man, is even if you recognize Jesus as Messiah and you see him as the Lamb, is to hide. And it's true all in all of history, and it's true in all of time, and it's true at the end of time. So listen carefully to what these next few verses say. Because we see the people recognizing that it's the judgment of the Lamb. They say the right things, but they don't repent. They hide. Now watch. What?
I'm preparing to hear what you're...
And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And it wasn't a great earthquake, it's a seismos, is what it says in Greek. The seismos is the shaking of all things. And if you don't believe me, go to verse 12. Go to Hebrews 12. Because I know there's some of you who don't believe me. What? Hebrews 12, verse... Let's go to verse 20. We probably aren't going to get very far today. We're not going to get to where I wanted to start. The whole idea of verse 12 is about chastisement. And he that is, it says, let's go to chapter 12 of Hebrews. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, no matter how important you make it seem, lay aside every weight. Remember, the ashes of the red heifer could not have even the weight of a handkerchief on his back. And we are the red heifer in type. We have to be. It was the only female sacrifice, if you remember. Anyway, wherefore we, and this is it with the red heifer is the baptism of fire, but that's another story. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily and quickly beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Which sin is that?
What is it that so easily besets?
Weight. Self. Remember, sin, trespass is what you do. Sin is what you are. So let us lay aside every weight which causes or which maketh manifest the sin, us, that so does so easily beset us. Any slightest weight causes the sin or the instead of Christ or the Antichrist to come rising back up. Because there's a weight. I've got to do something. I've got to go up to my mountains to figure it out. And every time you do, you leave the kingdom of light and return to the kingdom of darkness. And who is the kingdom of darkness? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Every time something doesn't go your way, you get mad. What is mad? What is anger? Anger is just frustrated greed. It's the evidence of the resurrection of self. And there's no such thing as righteous anger. Something doesn't go your way. Somebody interrupts your schedule. Somebody interrupts what you think the way you should be treated. Response is anger. It may be hidden anger, but I promise when you hide it for a very long time, it's going to explode like in a volcano. Anybody ever seen this, Harry? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of, you notice our is in italics, he's the author and finisher of faith itself, who for the joy, and the Greek word for there is instead of, who instead of the joy that is, instead of the joy that was set before him when he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, he came and his way was finished. You got to hear this. Instead of that joy that was set before him, he came off that mount and came down and endured the cross. Who was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, because that was the will of God for him. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, unless you be wearied and faint or quit in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, striving against self. Now, to resist unto blood is to resist the temptation for a solution. To resist the idea that that way that you're in isn't the way it should be. I've got to do something. So to resist unto blood is to resist unto the point where you see the blood. You see the perfection of his holiness. What?
I've seen it.
All right. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son or my child, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. The chastening is when something doesn't go the way you think it should. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Remember, chastening and rebuke, the rod and the staff in Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But if you have the mind of a Gentile, you'll go crazy. You.
Sheep and goats.
My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with legitimate children. For what child is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. To be without chastisement is that you quit in your mind. You faint at the test and you go back up to the mountain to come to some solution. Or you murmur, or you pout, or you go and do something religious. It's all crap because you are really fainting at the rebuke. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. In other words, they didn't want to be embarrassed by having a bad kid. Oh, holy, I gave my whole life to you. How could you have done this to me? Didn't have anything to do with you. I'm speaking to my mother now, who... Huh? What?
Your poor departed mother.
I should tell some Harry stories, but I'll resist the temptation. Now, no telephone. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. But nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. humbled, emptied. But what's your response instead of emptying? Your response is to scramble and scramble and find and search and go up and come up with every cunning device that you can imagine. Sound familiar to anybody?
That's the sin that does so easily beset
us. Because you've resurrected the evil one.
And it seems like it's okay.
To who?
To the one who's sinning.
It seems like it's a good thing.
Yeah, it does. That's what we do.
So the great shaking happens the moment you begin to understand the sixth seal. Now, all of these things have to happen in you before they can happen, before the end can happen. That's our calling. The first thing that has to happen is the man of sin, the son of perdition, has to be revealed. My God, it's you and me. And then you have to learn that, my God, how in the hell did I ever give any importance to that evil one? And how can I now give any importance to my thoughts or my emotions? Because I've seen the futility and emptiness of them all. And I want you to leave this room and hear the cries of those hidden under the altar, Ho Despotes, how long, O Lord? And then I want you to go hide under the altar instead of a constant resurrecting of yourself. We'll probably spend more time on this, I would guess. Any response? I don't think. Any expansions on the tale, Mr. Rutledge or Miss Rutledge? Again, all the Greek word for earthquake is seismos, a great shaking, and that's what happens when you start to open the sixth seal. And then if you endure the sixth seal, then you open the seventh seal. And the seventh seal is time. The angel of the Lord stands and says, time shall be no more, for the mystery of God is completed. And I promise you, once time is no more, there's not going to be any yo-yos. Rapture boy isn't going to be able to have any time. John?
Sounds way too familiar.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the whole point of it. We have to see that all this stuff has happened in us. You know, all this stuff that I'd had to remember at for this. It seems like I get constant telephone calls from these people that we're dealing with. And I have to remember all this crap that we went through. And it's like, it seems like when you look back on it, it's nothing but shaking. How in the hell, there's no possibility that I could have remained faithful. Except him. The shaking will take, it always takes a form that you never expected. Comes and grabs you by the short hairs and just flings you around. I didn't say that. By the way, I'm going to say something real quick, and I want this on the tape. If you are fed by what goes on here, and what this Bible study is, and this is a place where you should tithe. You tithe to the storehouse, the place where you receive food. And I just thought of that with all these supposed people that are out in internet land. And if you don't, then stop listening. You're stealing. Yes, I told him, didn't I? Take it, big guy.